to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is December 7th, 2020, and we're going to end this year in a bang. The 19th of this month, we have my 15-year anniversary show. It's going to be chock full of fun stuff. I decided the anniversary show is going to be more about the audience than the guests. We are going to have some special guests join us, some people who were there at the beginning of this show. Actually, my first guest today is going to spend a little time with us for the anniversary show. That's December 19th. So we are going to do that. I've been asking people to email me at onair@superhumanradio.net, which is two things: your full name so we can get it right, and the year you first started listening to Superhuman Radio. And you may have to estimate. Some people forgot. They're not sure if it's 2007 or 2008. That's fine. But if you do that, you will be immortalized in the anniversary show, and it means a lot to me. Before we get started, of course, I have to thank my title sponsor, which I'm proud to have as a title sponsor, and that is Legendary Foods. The website is shrnetwork.biz/legendary. The code is SHR10 for 10% off everything and anything there. They have the best nut butters, the best seasoned almonds, and a dessert that's taking the nation by storm. We have people trying to order in other countries and they're not shipping yet, and that is the Tasty Pastry. They just introduced two new flavors, blueberry and hot fudge sundae. Both have zero sugar and 15 grams of high quality, high leucine protein, and not a ton of fiber. I got to be honest with you. I'm so excited that they didn't go. They could have put 15 grams of fiber in here if they wanted to. They didn't. And I'm happy about that. So check them out. Use the code SHR10. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary and show them some love because they help make this show possible. And now, without further delay, let me get my guest and good friend on the show here, and that is Coach Wade Johnson. There we go. How you doing, brother?
I'm great. It's good to be with you. It's been a while.
So Wade and I were just talking off the air. So Wade had brought his monolift down to Louisville for a competition. Just goes to show you how much this guy loves the sport. Like, taking a monolift from Tennessee to Kentucky is not a simple thing. And he brought it here to our friend Jeff Ruiz's gym when we had a powerlifting competition there. And he judged and he brought the monolift just so that people could compete. He didn't get money for it. He just did it because he wanted more people to find the love of powerlifting and strength more than anything else. And that's going to be our discussion today. We were just talking off the air. You know, 15 years ago, he and I was standing outside of Jeff Ruiz's gym, and I said, I'm going to start doing this radio show. And I don't think anybody realized, like, you know, yeah, okay, that was good. But you back then you had long hair, black hair, and you had your beard braided like Lou Albano. Remember you had it braided with beads in it, and you just looked like a wild man back then. And Wes was there. Wes was probably 16 years old, I want to say, 17 years old.
He couldn't have been, it give or take, you know, he was in that, probably 15, 16. I don't think quite 17. He's probably 15, 16 years old. And
back then he had like a 700-pound squat. Remember that? What was he squatting?
Well, yeah, because when he was 17 is when he squatted 805. So it was prior to then. And that's when I was a pretty big man back then. I was pretty big.
Yeah.
That was probably during the era, those years, up until I was about 45 or 46 years old. So we're looking at 8-9 years ago was when I was physically the biggest that I was. And likewise for him as well.
So for those people, you know, there's a lot of newcomers to this show. And for those people who don't know who you are, while you're a coach today, you're both an Olympic lifting and powerlifting coach, and you have the Ogre Compound in what part of Tennessee is it? Is it Juliet?
It's Mount Juliet. Mount Juliet. It's really close to the Nashville airport. I'm probably 15, 20 minutes away from downtown Nashville.
Now, what a lot of people probably don't know about you, and I just want to throw this in there because you're a multifaceted person. You're a musician. You work for the Philharmonic there, don't you?
I work for the Nashville Symphony. I do facilities type work there. And so many, many years ago, to be as brief as I can, I was a traveling musician and I had been published as a songwriter and have a background in playing orchestral type instruments and, you know, doing Broadway thespian type stuff. And
I don't think most people would put like if no. I would have won a bet if I would have like asked, well, what do you think Coach does for a living? You know.
So to make money, you know, in those days when I was a musician, you know, you learn. I've framed houses. I've worked at a plumbing warehouse. You learn how to do, you know, fix it type stuff, which has saved me tons of time and money. You know, having my own gym. You know, knowing how to wire lighting in and or things of that nature, do plumbing repairs and all those types of things. So you do those things when you're a musician where you can make money and survive. And, you know, that led me into doing facilities work when I was in Houston for a few years, and which led me to where I am. We were talking off air. When you started the show, I was working for the Performing Arts Center downtown, and then a couple of years later, moved to where I am now at the Nashville Symphony.
Exactly.
So that, you know, yeah. I had done, you know, played music, traveled as a guitar tech. I have been published, you know, as a songwriter, that sort of thing. And no, almost no one ever thinks that that's something that's from my past.
Do the people at the Symphony know about your passion for powerlifting?
As a matter of fact, the orchestra, I don't know a bunch of them by name. They see me roll. Well, right now, everybody's, you know, at home except for a chosen few. But they're always surprised. I got a message from one of the musicians that just, she goes, "You kind of lead this double life. You're this big, non-assuming guy at work that fixes everything under the sun and takes care of all these things. You know, and then you find out that you travel all over the planet, you know, doing string sports, you know." So they're certainly aware of it. And excuse me, my supervisor is also a great friend of mine. He and I have worked together for over 25 years at different jobs. We worked at TPAC together and we did some production work prior to my TPAC days. And he and another one of the guys that both of us have worked for a number of years, the ref lights that I used for years and years, those two built for me.
Oh, wow.
And so they're keenly aware. Eric, my boss, when we built the first edition about roughly 10 years ago where we currently squat, he and I got together one Friday evening and rewired the lighting where we had, you know, enough light to, you know, usually when they dry something in like that, like a garage, they'll do the minimal amount. It was like four light fixtures, which was not going to be adequate. So he and I wired in an overhead circuit for fans and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then nine lights. So they're invested, so to speak. So,
yeah.
So the answer to that is the people that I work with day in and day out are very aware. When I did last year, when I did IPF Bench Worlds and then IPF Masters Worlds, you know, they tuned in on the live stream and stuff like that. So they are aware.
So you've traveled all over the world competing both in powerlifting and Olympic lifting. For those people who don't know who you are, talk about your competitive years. Best squat, best deadlift, best bench press.
The best squat I ever did in competition was 1,040. Both bench and deadlift were 700 pounds. Olympic lifting, my best snatch was 254, and I clean and jerk 303.
Right.
And, you know, that was done.
But Olympic lifting, you didn't start doing Olympic lifting until the past probably 5 years. That's kind of late in your career.
Well, I had always trained it. And then probably about 10 years ago, I trained it consistently. And I had competed and was getting ready to do Pan Ams. And some life changes came in that you're aware of and changed that. And then when Melissa and I got together, some of our dates when she lived in Cincinnati, I had friends in Cincinnati, both in Olympic lifting and in powerlifting. So I hooked her up with those folks. And she and I would train Olympic lifting as one of our, as a date. So it was later in life, 2015, I competed and won Masters Nationals. I got silver at Masters Pan Ams, and then later that year, World Cup in Olympic weightlifting.
Right.
So, and my claim to fame is, because we do strongman here as well, is 2 years ago, I competed in Masters Strongman Nationals, and I was able to get the win there.
Wow. So that's impressive. Yeah.
So it's one of those things that, you work your entire career to break that plateau of 1,000-pound squat and did it drug-free. It was one of those things that I was very adamant. I whatever other people want to do is up to them, but I made the choice, to remain drug-free. And I coach children. I coach, young kids and young adults. And it's just one of those things that I just never wanted that to be part of who I was. Right. That's not an indictment on anybody else. It's just the path I chose.
Right.
And so in the past 5 years to win, an international meet, a national meet in Olympic weightlifting, to win a world championships in powerlifting, and then win a nationals in strongman, all in a span of 4 years was a huge feather.
And how old are you now, Wade?
I'm 55.
Yeah, so you weren't a spring chicken either at that point in time. But I think that WADA just added pizza to the banned substances list, so you may not be drug-free anyway.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't. Now, I will tell you, what's interesting is once I started that pathway to become an IPF competitor, they came to my house twice and did a full WADA panel on me. They had an agent come. I had to pee in a cup for them, and they tested me. So if bourbon and pizza had been on the banned list, I'd have lit that test up.
Yeah. So now with the discussion that we want to have, so bodybuilding and powerlifting or pure strength training, they seem to occupy the same space today. We have a lot of people who consider themselves more bodybuilders, but they're also trying to become as strong as they possibly can. And the reason I wanted to do this show with you is because it takes almost more discipline to train purely for strength than it does to train this power building, if you want to call it, to coin a term that has been used before. And It's actually harder to make the decision to say, I just want to be as strong as I can, because it's a completely different way of training. Talk about it. I mean, you have been purely strength driven. You've never said, I want to have 21-inch upper arms. You probably do by now. But I mean, those were never your goals. It was just to move the weight, right?
Yeah, I remember in the early days of the internet, you would have all these chat rooms where people, would get together and discuss ideas. And one of the quick things when you became part of a new chat room is they wanted to know your stats. Well, for me, my stats as a power lifter were the three lifts and what my best total were. But they wanted to know the size of my quads, the size of my chest, the size of my upper arms. And unless I was getting measured for a shirt, people ask me all the time, especially probably, because by and large, most of my career, I've either been what they call a 308 or a super heavyweight. And honestly, the only time I'd ever get on a scale is when I weighed in at a meet. I mean, I was a super heavy, so I wasn't having to regulate anything. But I think one of the things that we have found is what happens between someone that is training for strength and, say, a bodybuilder is the types of volumes.
Right.
And I'll give you a classic example. Recently, I have a group of, just off the top of my head, probably there's about eight of them that are strongman competitors. And one of the things that universally all of them have said when they receive their programming, you know, when they look at it on paper, they're like, this is so little volume in comparison to what, you know, I have done in the past. And so one of the quickest questions I ask, I said, how injury free are you? Well, I have this. So they start rattling off a list. And then my second question is, how well do you recover? And they felt like what they were, you know, if they didn't go into the gym and completely destroy themselves,
right,
like, you know, they are barely making it out of the gym, then they weren't training hard. And I go, well, there's a difference in training hard and training smart. And when you're a bodybuilder, I'm not opposed to the term power builder. I get what they're after. But I think it's one of those things when you're training for strength, and I've told you this in the past, where you really, when you're focused on strength as the priority, you have to accept the physique that the training is going to give you. You're not going to do this type of training and look like an Arnold or a Lou Ferrigno. Now, you can give me a name of a handful of people, you know, where people always take the 1% to argue a point. There's always those exceptions. But those are few and far between, and that's why I use the term 1%er. It's like comparing some of my lifters, like a Jennifer Milliken, to the rest of the powerlifting community.
Right.
We're comparing cantaloupes to cranberries. It's not even in the same realm.
Right.
And so, you know, it takes a lot of discipline because you're going to feel like you're not doing enough work, and you have to look at the tonnage of weight and movements that we're doing. Not on a daily basis or even a weekly basis. It's what you do over the entirety of a training cycle and how that affects your recovery. Recovery from strength training is a very different animal, you know, versus, say, bodybuilding training. And even for the guys that call themselves power builders, I think the ability to recover is significantly different. So I think that's kind of the biggest, you know, where you see the divide.
Right, and I agree with you, and it takes a lot of discipline and courage to make the decision to get in the one boat to say, okay, I am exclusively interested in getting stronger, and that is, I want to do everything that would maximize that outcome, and when you look at that as the exclusive goal, you realize that most of us are going into the gym and wasting a lot of time, but more importantly, working against achieving that goal. Like you just said, so, you know, you see people post pictures. I crushed my legs today. You know, imagine if you're a brick mason and you're on your way to work. You got to work 8 hours and you know the outcome is to build this wall. You don't go in and go, how can I make this job the hardest I can make it? Like, I know, I'll load all the bricks on my shoulders and I'll walk them up. No, I got to take 5 bricks at a time. I got to do the work. I got to focus on the goal. The goal is to build the wall. If the goal is to get stronger and someone said to you, you're in the gym too frequently and or you're doing too high a volume of work and you go, I don't care. I'm going to keep doing this. Then your goal isn't to get stronger. Just admit it to yourself. Say, you know what? I really am not here to get stronger. I'm here to work hard and exhaust myself. Then just say that. But if your goal is to get stronger and you have a guy like you who's done it for a lifetime now and continue to do it, you have to say to yourself, maybe this guy knows something I should be paying attention to.
Well, it is a tough thing. And I've got some stories that I can brief. I've got this young kid that lives, he's probably 30 miles away, and he competed this weekend. And I was trying to tell him, hey, look at the volume that you used to train with. Look at how we've been able to increase our strength. This is the first training cycle that I've coached him. And you got to understand, when you go into a competition, once you squat, that's going to have a little bit of a detrimental effect on your bench press because of how the way this meet runs. This is going to be a very fast, high tempo, type of meet because it runs in sessions. We're going to be done. You'll be done in 3 to 3.5 hours. And he wanted to argue, he kept going, well, I think. And I said, well, we're going to let him, I know he can get his opener. Let him make that call then on the second one. And when he struggled, he kind of came to me and I said, now do you see, where your energy levels are and how that can have an effect? And he, you have to experience that. And so how that also coincides is I have a young lady that I coach that does both powerlifting and strongman. As a matter of fact, she competed this weekend, and then we will be back in Kentucky Sunday in Frankfort for Beast of the Bluegrass, which will be a strongman contest that we have some athletes competing in. And one of the things, she doesn't train here full time. I program for her, I coach her, but she trains in another gym. And I will see Instagram post where she's done her training and then she's doing sets after set of dips and things of that nature. And I've told her, I said, look, if you want to look a certain way, I completely understand. And I understand why and how that is important to you. And that's okay. But when you ask me, why didn't these things happen? I'm going to always point to, did you do the programming the way that I set it up for you? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean because I am right and you are wrong. It's, hey, this is structured to maximize the training and get you the result that you said that you wanted. When you start freelancing and start doing muscle spinning because you don't feel like you got a pump in your triceps and your pecs, these are the things that are going to take place. Because she even said to me yesterday, she goes, even with the deload, I just did not feel like I was rested. And I go, you answered your own question. And so, now that takes time. It's not just being dedicated to it. You have to learn that I can't, even as, this is someone that's in their mid-20s, even at that young of an age.
Right, because she's recovering faster than most of us,
Yeah. Yeah, and you still have to do everything you can to maximize your ability to recover and recuperate and be prepared for the next training session. Because, bodybuilding is grueling in and of itself.
Yes.
What those guys do and what they have to do to look like that and the all that stuff, and that's just something I was never interested in. However, I've been around those guys enough, I've helped those guys enough to know that what they do is extremely difficult. But for power and for strength, everything has to have a purpose. And you can't have a whole lot of fluff or it becomes a detriment. It actually takes you further away from the goal that we're working towards. And so slowly but surely, when people come here or when I take over their programming, if they stick around for a little bit, they start to see the reason why we do things the way that they do and why you have to do the things in that manner, and that you may not look a certain way, but we're getting the results that you want. And again, it really comes back to the ability of that athlete to recover and go from session to session. Because as a strength athlete, we are asking a lot. I was telling the athlete yesterday when she asked, I said, you want to do something great, so your price is also great.
Right.
Right. And that price is, I've got to eat a certain way, I've got to rest a certain way, and I have to pay attention to the programming and not stray from it so it doesn't, it doesn't exhaust me. Or again, what it generally does, that when they're doing those types of things and all that volume, many, many times that's the genesis of an injury that's going to come
right
down the road.
Right. I mean, every injury I suffered was the result of pushing too hard. And when you think about pushing too hard, why was I trying to – look, you wouldn't get in your car and strap 10,000 pounds to the hitch and decide to drive all of town with it because you're going to break your car. It may be fine for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but now things are starting to rattle and the transmission is starting to wear off. So you wouldn't do that. And people, if you ask them to, they'd be like, no, I don't want to destroy my car. But yet that's the mentality we go into the gym with. We go into the gym to crush ourselves. And I think that maybe doing that once in a while, and we're going to talk about the undulating wave approach that you have during the next segment, but maybe doing that like a peak, all right, let's see how hard I can train today. But you just don't train like that all the time. But you can't get people to even consider this because there's this social media effort where everybody's trying to outdo themselves. No, well, I'm doing this for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I'm doing it for an hour. Oh, I'm going to do it more. And you get likes, so people think, oh, they're applauding me. I'm going to keep doing this. And then you get hurt. Then you get injured. And the reality is, unless you have some sort of physical anomaly, you know, you've got a joint that's been bad your whole life, you got some problems with soft tissue, there's no reason for anyone to get hurt doing this. There's no reason for you to inflict pain and injury upon yourself doing this. And this is a guy who's, you know, my bicep, my tricep's been reattached. You know, I've had all these issues over the years, and I can honestly say I've brought them all on myself because there were signs. I had tendonitis in this elbow before I detached this tricep. I had tendonitis in this outer bicep before I tore it doing bent over rows. And it's like I didn't feel right the day I was deadlifting. My hamstrings just didn't feel right the day I pulled three attachments off the left one. Yeah, I mean, it's like and all I want to say to people is you don't it's not guaranteed that you're going to injure yourself if you're pushing yourself. There's a way to push yourself. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Before we do this, how can people reach out to you? Because I know that you train people remotely all the time.
Yeah, I have an email address. First, you can see our website. It's theogrecompound.com. And there's a link there where you can email me directly. But that email address is teamogre@outlook.com. And you can find me on Facebook, Instagram. We have a gym Instagram. It's the_ogre_compound. And I have a personal Instagram. It's @BigWade800. And you can go to those, go to my Facebook page, message me. And that's how a lot of the remote clients that I have communicate with me.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the type of programming that Coach does and why it makes a lot of sense to pay attention to. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, said that all disease begins in your gut. That's why it's so important to protect yourself with boosted immune system. If you drink coffee, tea, smoothies, or really any beverage in the morning, and you're looking for a tasty way to start your day and defend yourself against harmful bacteria, then I have just the thing for you to try. It's called the Ultimate Immunity Protection Stack, and it was put together by my friends over at Bioptimizers. Their immunity stack has three products which contain over 18 natural herbs and probiotic blends formulated to fight and eliminate bad bacteria like E. coli, salmonella, gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria, and repair compromised gut lining. It also includes psychobiotics, which help increase serotonin and happy chemicals to naturally elevate your mood, performance, and cognitive function with no side effects or dependencies. It's a great addition to your morning routine, and it tastes amazing. Just stir it into any beverage, sip, and enjoy. It's the ultimate way to boost your immune system right before the holiday season. Go to shrnetwork.biz/protect and use code SHR10 and save an extra 10% off on the... You won't find this deal or stack anywhere else. For fast shipping and the best deal, go to shrnetwork.biz/protect today.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's REDC CON1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon 1 banner ad today.
When craving a snack, reach for Select Savory Snack Sugar-Free Biltong, the healthy alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. They use a fattier cut of beef, making it more tender and flavorful. For mealtime, choose from their 63 seasonings, which are sugar and additive-free. From chipotle rub to savory pumpkin spice, you'll find an option to suit your palate. Go to shrnetwork.biz/SSS today. Use code SHR15 to save 15% on any meat snack or seasoning. Savor the flavor today.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carbs, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
By now, you're aware of the cognitive benefits of nootropics. My friends over at Pure Nootropics are giving my listeners 10 to 30% off their already great prices on over 70 high-quality nootropics. Stock up on DHM so you can feel good after your holiday celebration, or try the Superhuman Stack to boost your brain and energize your day. Go to shrnetwork.biz/pure, that's P-U-R-E, and start saving today.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA.
Get 25% off all beef and free shipping on orders of $100 or more
at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Later in the show, we're going to talk about a study that shows that glucosamine may have some of the same protective effects against dying as regular exercise. Now, I'm not suggesting people take glucosamine instead, but maybe there's a value in taking it along with. So we'll have the scientists on the show a little bit later. So, you know, when I first started this journey, I was very sick. I had a heart problem. And the idea of looking like a bodybuilder wasn't my goal. In fact, I have often been quoted as saying, I'd rather be able to squat 500 pounds than look like I can squat 500 pounds. And there's a very, very big difference in that. And so when you come to a guy like you who has spent his career not only being a strong human being but building other strong human beings, you've developed, you've evolved to design a very unique training protocol that kind of flirts with but then brings you back down so you can recover better. Talk about the dynamic. It's called the dynamic wave, right?
It's reactive,
reactive wave. I always get that wrong. I say so reactive wave.
One of the things that I've learned, I'm not, there's a lot of programs out there that do what they call a scheduled deload.
Mm-hmm.
And that works for a lot of people. Where for me, what I like to do is I like to push our percentages and we get to a certain level, not always to where the lifter or the athlete is breaking down, but we're going to go work to a targeted intensity. Then we wave it back some, not all the way to the beginning. Mm-hmm. We wave back some, and then we keep pushing. And so we see, you learn really quick with each athlete what their ability to recover. Some people can train 3 weeks, and they need to deload a little bit. When we were Olympic weightlifting, we would have a deload every fourth week. And for some, especially in the beginning, if they're doing the programming like I'm laying it out, it can be a deconditioning versus a deload. You know, there's just a certain mm-hmm. amount of foundational conditioning that you have to have, and or at least that's my opinion and in my experience. And so each person, you'll find out when they need to deload. Now, sometimes it's just going to come down to, you see that the lifter is underperforming, and it's like, hey, I'm going to pull this back. And it doesn't have to be necessarily a deload. Again, it's reactive. like the we've had discussions on the show in the past about the decline bench press method that I use, and that is there's no percentage based, you know, type of stimulation there or training. It is all based solely on percentage. I mean, solely on performance.
Right.
So if I see the lifter starting to slip or if they're struggling a little bit, then we pull it back a little bit. So there's always a wave process going. And here's
but I want to make a point here. But it's reactive to performance, not predictive. Like, correct. Oh, by on this week you're going to drop. Yeah, it's very important.
Right. Because we were talking on air, off air, about an athlete that I coach, Richard, and this is a big, big, strong dude, young guy. I think Rich is 30, 31 years old.
I follow him on Instagram. He's hilarious. His Instagram handle is Anabolic
Chocolate. As strong
and
as big as strong as he is equally. Yeah. You know, his humor and wit is not for everybody.
Right. No, I know.
But
I know.
He is really funny.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where when he hits a wall, it's I'm going well, and then boom.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly communicating with him, even if he's performing well. Hey, how are you sleeping? How are you feeling? How are you eating? How is work? Any little slip there where we feel like it's going to be a detriment, then we pull back, you know. And with him, I'm doing a lot of percentage-based stuff. I go, hey, I'm going to pull you back about 10%. Let's see how you perform on that day. And if it's really good, instead of just kind of starting back and building our way back up, sometimes I'll jump, you know, 5%, you know, on the next session. So that's one of the hardest things to juggle when you have several athletes is what is their ability to recover. But how we do that is waive those intensities. And sometimes they're scheduled, but it's rare. Again, it comes down to how is the athlete performing? Because, again, in the climate that we live in right now with COVID and all the things that have been affected by that, stress levels are at a all-time high.
Yes.
You know, and I coached someone that worked really high in the food chain of the pharmaceutical, but she was a pharmacist. And she told me probably mid-year that SSRI usage where she was at was up over 30%. You know, that's kind of terrifying.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So what that tells us, though, is, you know, stress has a huge, huge impact. And so, you know, what is the person going to? Have they lost their job? Because we've had people that have lost their job or they've had to change jobs or whatever the case may be. So we have to look, again, we're always responding, we're always reacting to how the lifter is performing. And do we need to take some things away? You know, like, you're going to come in, you're going to bench press, I'm going to have you do some lats and traps, and then you're going home. Let's do that for a couple of weeks and kind of rebuild, you know, your recovery, get you where you're feeling good again and sleeping well. You know, a lot of times, I know Rob speaks of this. When the athlete gets to the point that if everything is normal, you know, your eating is fairly good, your supplementation is good, your training is regular, and you can't sleep, something is going on.
Yeah.
And so we got to pull back a little bit. Let's get that back on track, and then we can, you know, ramp back up. So everything that we do with Reactive Wave is all about keeping the athlete performing at the highest level during the training, and then being sensitive to the need of, you know, how we need to, you know, to push or contract a little bit and help that with the recovery.
And that's all driven by the drop in performance. And so anyone could use this approach. All they have to do is not be stupid and push themselves harder, which, you know, it's almost like, oh, you're just, I don't want to say the P word, but, you know, you're just the P word because you're not willing to get in there and work hard. I don't want to say it because I know a lot of women are offended by it, just for the record. Not like I curse constantly.
Sure.
But, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you got to get in there and, you know, just take 400 milligrams of caffeine and hydrous, get in there and do the work. Which, by the way, I've come to the conclusion caffeine is one of the worst things that's ever been used in, because the way it's abused day in and day out. And sure. you never know that you're overtrained. That's the real problem. But it's like anyone could follow this method. If you go in and you're working with the weight that you've worked with before, and it feels really friggin' heavy, and you just can't. Guess what? It's time to back off.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose the strength if you back off. That's what the people are afraid of.
I do this every time I send out an email, and I know that as soon as they see these numbers that I've pulled back, I always tell them, hey, don't panic. You're not going to lose all your gains. This, you know, again, with strength is such a marathon. There is no sprinting. And I always, always use this analogy, you know, with everybody that I start coaching. You know, have you ever heard, you know, Aesop's fable about the tortoise and the hare? And there, you know, most everybody has in some form or another. And I go, you've seen cartoons, you've seen programs, you've read books. How many times does a rabbit win the race? Well, never. He never does. There's always some reason why he doesn't get to the finish line. And this is why it's like we're trying to get you to run through the finish line, but it takes time, and you have to be willing to put that time in. And there's no shortcuts.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Excuse me.
And again, like I said, this is something that everyone has available to them. Everyone can follow this. You don't need special loading patterns that are predetermined. In fact, the idea of having predetermined loading patterns is almost like telling somebody that they're going to have to take their motorcycle driving test before they've actually studied for it, or before they've actually ridden a motorcycle. Well, we're going to give you the test now. It's like having loading patterns may show you an example of how things can go in your training, but that may not be you. You may end up needing more time, or you may be stronger and you can go faster. No one pays attention to themselves anymore. I'm living proof of it. All the injuries I've suffered, if I would have said, oh, no, that tendonitis is bothering me. I'm not working today. I'm not doing it today. And so it's just a matter of paying attention to your body. So tell me how, when you program a lifter, a power lifter, and they have both, you know, the bench, the squat, and the deadlift that they're training for, how do you split those lifts up?
What I do typically, now we will use occasionally, I'm okay with, excuse me, high frequency training where you're doing multiple lifts a day.
Right.
But I do that sparingly. And again, depending on the athlete, that's really more for an advanced athlete. And I've seen people do that with success, but how I typically set it up is we have two upper bodies and two lower body sessions. With the lower body session, one, the primary focus is squat. The other, the primary focus is deadlift. With the two upper bodies, we're doing a bench workout, and then we do a close grip decline. Typically, it depends on the athlete, you know, and what the needs are. And we separate the two upper body workouts by 72 hours. So typically Monday we're benching, Tuesday we're squatting, Thursday we come back and we're doing another pressing upper body session, Friday we're deadlifting. And I have auxiliary workouts, which we've covered in the past for people that are doing things. They can do it on Wednesday and Saturday, and depending on, you know, if they're doing strongman and things like that. But typically, the typical split is two upper bodies, two lower bodies, and those two segments are separated by 72 hours, typically, unless there's a schedule need, to maximize, again, saying it over and over again, to maximize recovery.
So you would err on the side of taking off as opposed to training sooner if there's a schedule issue, right?
If there's a schedule issue, there are times. It depends on, now, if someone's early in the cycle and say, I can't squat Tuesday, can I squat Wednesday? Yeah, we can do that. If it's really close, then what I will suggest is if we can't make a change, or say they could come in Saturday, if they have to deadlift on Friday, I will suggest that we either train lighter or we don't train the squat and you come in and you do assistance work. Or we do a combination, like, hey, we're not going to squat Wednesday. What I'm going to have you do is when you come in on Friday, we'll do this variation of squat along with your deadlift routine. It just, it takes it's it. We're, what we're trying to do is minimize the chance of injury,
right?
And not stacking those things up too close. That's always the direction I'm going to lean. So I will always lean a little conservative.
Okay, I want to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk about nutrition because I did a show. It was either earlier this year or the end of last year, where we talked about a study that showed that overtraining is exclusively a result of not eating enough. This was I'm trying to think of the university that did this study. It was a very well done study. It was controlled, and it comes down to if you're not eating enough, you're going to end up getting overtrained. So I want to talk about what discussions you have with your athletes about eating, and this feeds back into the allow the physique that the training gives you to occur. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Coach Wade Johnson.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Mind Bullet is a kratom product derived from the coffee family to boost energy and creative juices. Mind Bullet comes in both pill and liquid form for the ultimate pre-workout supplement. When needing a little pick-me-up or to get through the morning fog, Mind Bullet will set your productive course fast. Go to shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet, all one word, today, and save 20%. No subscription required. That's shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet. Get yours today.
Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it. You'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. At the top of the hour, we're going to be talking about a fascinating study that looks at glucosamine as having some very, very beneficial effects Actually, compared to regular exercise, and again, like I said before, we're not suggesting people stop exercising at all, but it could be beneficial to take along with your exercise. We'll find out about that in just a little bit. So let's talk about nutrition. Like I talked about coming into the break, I did a show that shows that overtraining is not a result of how much work you're doing, but how little food you're eating. And it makes perfect sense when you think about it. What do you think? Do you talk to your athletes about nutrition at all?
Yes, and one of the things that we've said in the past, most overtraining can be combated. It's not that you're overtraining. Generally, it's more that you're under-eating. And that's one of the biggest things. It's a little more predominant in my female athletes, you know, because they want to look a certain way, or they, you know, don't want to, you know, feel like they're overeating.
Right.
But, like, you know, Jennifer and Melissa, you know, who have been very successful athletes, you know, they put the time in and eating, and that's part of the gig. And when I was at my biggest and strongest, now, did I eat more than the average person? The answer obviously is yes. Was it always pizza? Absolutely not. But by and large, what people do is they just don't take in enough food, especially protein and especially calories, to where they can perform at their best. And when you're eating well and when you're feeding the body, you know, a lot of people tend to overeat, but they underfeed. And so that's why we would spread our meals out to where we were eating, you know, 6 and 7 times a day, both Wes and I. And our supplements were, you know, not a bunch of these giant, you know, high calorie shakes. We would take amino acids and liver tablets and, you know, and get those protein sources that would absorb at a different level. But ultimately is make sure that you're getting in enough food that, one, you have the fuel and the energy to train, but also that you have the fuel that's going to help maximize your recovery as well.
So what about protein? Do you tell the athletes about protein? Do you explain to them when they first come aboard, like, if you're not eating enough protein, you're just not going to be able to do the things you want to do?
Correct. And there's some protein supplements that I keep in the gym just for that reason. You know, it's like, hey, you know, I've got this available. You don't have to get it from me. But here's where you're falling, you know, because I'll tell them, before I look at any type of food plan for you, here's what I want you to do for the next 2 or 3 weeks. I want you to keep a food journal with approximate time to what you're eating and what the approximate amounts are, and then let's review them. Because a lot of times you'll see really quick what an athlete's eating habits, you see real quickly where their deficiencies are, and what those habits, you know, can then be shaped to where you can maximize, you know, the food intake to aid that performance. And again, the bigger issue is the recovery.
And do you talk about sleep? You know, especially with your younger athletes, and I don't mean really young, because I know you train some young teenagers, but the guys that are in the 25 to 35, you know, on the weekends they want to go out with their friends, they want to drink.
Sure.
You know, do you talk to them about sleep at all?
Sure. And it's one of those things where I get it. You know, I probably get about 7 solid hours of sleep just simply because of schedule. And but I will tell them, if you are burning, you know, the candle at both ends, if you're doing, you know, once in a while, all of us do, for some reason or another, you're going to have that short night where you're going to get 4 hours of sleep and you got to get up the next day real early and take care of business. But if on average you have 1, 2, or 3 of those nights a week, it's not a matter of if, it's when it's going to have not just a detrimental effect, but where it can even have a catastrophic effect, not only on your performance, but again, more so your ability to recover. So it's one of those things where I really try to emphasize, you know, get into a pattern of where you're done for the night. Like for me, if I leave my phone on after 8 o'clock, I'm going to answer it when it rings, or right, when I get it. So I turn it off, or otherwise, you know, I'm going to continue work. And I have learned the hard way, you know, that I'm not going to recover if I don't turn it off, give myself enough time to kind of
wind full, down,
you know,
yeah,
kind of simmer down a little bit. Where I, because I don't, I generally have no problem going to sleep and even staying asleep. So, and we have a very rigid and long schedule, you know, day in and day out. So, it is imperative. So that's the thing. And I'm like, even on weekends, I used to be so adamant against taking a nap on the weekend. But if you have time and you need the rest, even if you don't sleep, if you can just chill out for a little while, you know, just stretch out and rest, those little things, you know, those things tend to add up and have a big benefit.
Real quick, give a couple plugs. So you had some athletes come to Louisville this weekend and compete, and one that I'm always interested in is Jennifer Milliken, because she's a mom, she's a really a tiny girl when you think about it, but she moves some amazing weight. Talk about her performance this weekend.
She said it in a post that, yesterday, how she had gotten out of her bubble. I've been coaching Jennifer now for a little 7 or 8 years, and she's become very involved with USA powerlifting and being an IPF athlete and has won worlds a couple of times. So this was a, you know, with COVID, meets have been very, very sparse. And there's a lot of restrictions and a lot of challenges. Anyway, we went to a different federation right there where you're at in Louisville, and she squatted in wraps, which she hasn't competed in wraps in quite some time, and she squatted 192.5 kilos.
Which in pounds is about 425?
425-ish.
Yeah.
She benched 112.5. She was certainly capable of more, which is just a smidge under 250, and deadlifted 195 kilos, which is about 430 pounds. At a body, I don't remember specifically what her body weight was.
But it's well under 140, right? She's under 140.
Yeah, she lifted in the 148s.
And so she had a total of what, 1,100, you said?
500 kilos, so 1,100 pounds.
I mean, and that just goes to show you. So this comes full circle to why I want to do this show. Does she look like a bodybuilder? No. Does she look like a female bodybuilder? No. But when you train exclusively to get stronger and you let the weights you move be the goal, you can get stronger. But most of us are training with too high of a volume to ever really know how strong we can be. And so I want people to listen to this show and think to yourself, if you want to be a bodybuilder, that's great. God bless you. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of dieting. It's a lot of everything else. But if you simply want to be the strongest human you can be, given your genetics, given your frame, given your musculature, and you want to train exclusively for strength, you want to listen to what Coach Wade is talking about here. And in fact, you probably will enjoy it more because you'll be in the gym, but you'll come home and you won't be crushed every single day. Just think about that. The best of both worlds. Having energy to live your life and getting stronger and stronger and stronger as the years go on. And really, at 62 years old, that's really all I'm interested in, because I'm never going to look like a bodybuilder. I just don't have the discipline to diet like that. I just don't. But I want to be the strongest 60, 70, 80-year-old that I can be. And it's achievable when you realize you don't have to do that much work. You just have to pay attention to your body when it says, hey, I handled 300 pounds in this lift last week, and now today it's heavy. Oh, I know. I need to back off now. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. It's a gift. Coach is giving you a gift. He's giving you the approval, the permission to train for strength. Think about that. Think about that. I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. And we will see you again on the anniversary show on the 19th for a quick check-in to be part of the show. But thank Absolutely. You so much for being here. Give people how they can reach you one more time.
You can find me if you look for our website, theogrecompound.com. There is a link there where you can email me. That email is teamogre@outlook.com. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram. My personal Instagram is @bigweight800. The gym Instagram is the_ogre_compound. You can find me there.
There you go. Wade, thanks for being here today, brother.
Always good to be with you, Carl.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Professor Dana King to talk about this phenomenally interesting research on, of all things, glucosamine. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA.
Get 25% off all beef and free shipping on orders of $100 or more
at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again.
TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order.
Proper hydration can lead to improved endurance, performance, and recovery. When we sweat, we lose valuable electrolytes that must be replaced. That's why Element created a zero-sugar, science-backed ratio of electrolytes that you can add to your water. It comes in 3 flavors. Sample them all risk-free with the Element Variety Pack. Carl's favorite is raspberry. Free shipping on all U.S. orders. Go to shrnetwork.biz/LMNT and get yours today.
Mind Bullet is a Kratom product derived from the coffee family to boost energy and creative juices. Mind Bullet comes in both pill and liquid form for the ultimate pre-workout supplement. When needing a little pick-me-up or to get through the morning fog, Mind Bullet will set your productive course fast. Go to shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet, all one word, today, and save 20%. No subscription required. That's shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet. Get yours today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Oh, there we go. This is a fascinating study. It's actually sent to us by Tim Gwynn. He posted it in the Superhuman Nation Facebook page. And Elisa reached out to Professor Dana King. How you doing, Professor King?
Great.
I'm adjusting your volume as we get started here. So you are with Western Virginia University, correct?
That's right.
Okay. Talk about this study. Let's start off why. What pointed you in this direction that you felt that this research needed to be done?
Well, my team and I do research about nutrition, exercise, and the general benefits of a healthy lifestyle, even as you get older. So we are always cruising the literature to see what might be helpful. And I was talking to my buddies. I'm a recreational bicyclist. And they said, oh, yeah, we all take glucosamine. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting. And so I looked into it.
But they take glucosamine for the normal reasons of you know, building chondrocytes and joints and helping soft tissue recover. This study looked at mortality rates, correct?
Well, that's right. So in my looking at the literature that already existed, I was trying to decide if I wanted to take it. I found a study that had been somewhat ignored. It was in the European Journal of Epidemiology, not one that you and I read every day. And it said that glucosamine helped you live longer. It was done in the state of Washington.
Okay, so what, now talk about your research. So what did you do? Okay. Did you analyze the existing data, like a meta-analysis or a review of the existing research, or did you actually perform a new study?
Well, when we saw that, we said, what? So we looked at something called the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. So it's a national. So these people were in one state, the state of Washington. Who knows what those people are doing out there? So
right.
We said, let's do a national. Let's look at a national study and see if this is really true. So my partner and I, June Jang, looked at existing data, merged it with another database with mortality in it, and we were able to essentially sort of retrospectively follow people for 15 years and see what happened.
Now, obviously, this study shows a correlation, not causation, right?
That is right. This is epidemiology. In other words, the people that were taking the glucosamine were self-chosen. They weren't randomized.
Right. Were there any other similarities that would have caused some sort of unique stratification of the population you looked at besides glucosamine? Did they have other similarities in diet or exercise or any of those kind of things?
Okay, so we try to, when you do this analysis, you try to think of other things. It's almost impossible to control for diet because what do you control for? You know,
yeah.
How many carrots you eat, how many. So, but we look back and we said, okay, let's control for age, race, education,
socioeconomic type things, yeah.
Socioeconomic, okay. Educational attainment, and exercise, because we know people are probably trying to take this when they're exercising, so
right.
We don't want it to be an exercise effect. So anyway, we put that all in the mixer, and it was still there and quite prominent.
Yeah, because I would think that people who take glucosamine exercise, so they want their joints to remain viable so they can keep exercising. And so how do you tease out the effects of exercise in this population versus the effects of supplementation with glucosamine?
Well, we use some statistical techniques. This is called a Cox proportion hazards ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a regression that takes into account other factors over time. And so, in other words, what this is saying statistically is that people who were taking glucosamine regularly, and they had been taking it more than a year, were half as likely to die of cardiovascular disease, whether they were exercising or not, no matter what age they were, race, smoking, etc.
Interesting. Okay, so Peter Lakatos, who watches the show from Hungary, said, do we have any idea of human dosing from the study? Do we have dose stratification? Do we know that people, they just said, no, I take glucosamine, or some people are taking 2 grams and other people are taking 1,500 milligrams?
All right, you're very good. The problem is, of course, remember, these were self-selected people. So
right.
There's what? At least 50 different combinations on the market. You take glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, who knows what else in it. Maybe you take one a day, maybe you take it twice a week. So yes, all those people, as long as they said they had been taking it more than a year. Now, we went back. We didn't do this in the original study, but for you, we went back and averaged together, and then there were some mistakes in the data, and June had to, bless her, had to go through every supplement and calculate the dose of the glucosamine, et cetera. And to her best calculation, people were taking an average of 635 milligrams a day.
Which according to studies that look at glucosamine's effect on chondrocytes and soft tissue, is underdosed. The recommendation from research, when you look at the research that shows effective outcomes from glucosamine on joints and tissue, we're looking more like daily doses of about 1,800 milligrams a day. And so that's not an excessive amount that you found.
No. Now, they may have been taking a little more. In other words, it could be that they were taking it, but they would miss days and things like that.
And plus, so you're looking for the average or the mean. When June did that, she's looking for the mean. That means that there are people who are taking more than that and there are people who are taking less than that, quite frankly.
That is right. And when they said they were taking it and taking it daily, were they taking the whole thing? Were they taking three of them? You know, it comes in 500, 400. Sometimes it comes in one big capsule. So I can't put a lot of weight in that number, but it seems that taking it regularly, you know, seemed to be the key.
Okay, so Tim Gwynn is the guy who sent us the study. Thank you, Tim. So his question is kind of, and you just answered, is there evidence that lower doses have benefits? Obviously, if the mean was, you know, 600 milligrams, that's considered a lower dose, and there's obviously lower doses than that, and it's still correlated with better outcomes as far as longevity goes.
Well, there's some evidence. Again, this is not a trial. Remember, we're just looking at free living humans. While we were doing our study to confirm this, they did one in Great Britain, and they had access, and the numbers are astounding, to 500,000 people to study, because they have a giant medical record in Great Britain. Everyone's on the same one,
right?
Because it's the health service.
Right.
All right. So they looked at people now, and they asked a simple question: are you taking glucosamine chondroitin? Yes or no? So 20% of the population said yes to that question. Now
that's a large number.
So I assume that they're not all taking 1,500 or 1,800 milligrams a day.
Right.
So, because ours of people taking it regularly was 4%.
Right.
So, people taking any showed a 15% reduction in the likelihood of mortality. I mean, so, you know, it's a pretty strong effect. And if you take it regularly, it seems to be even stronger.
So another question from Tim Gwynn, and you just alluded to this, is that glucosamine is almost always taken with chondroitin. Now, this question says if there's a prophylactic effect, which it's hard to say that with the research that you did. But what about the chondroitin? I mean, it's hard to tease out chondroitin when almost every glucosamine supplement out there has chondroitin in it.
The research that's been done by others said that the glucosamine and the chondroitin both contribute to the lower mortality, and that taking it prophylactically, okay, our study looked at people 40 and over.
Right.
Now, it wasn't a trial, so we can't leap to say, yes, everyone should take it, but it's tempting. I mean, it has no side effects. If you take one, it doesn't bother you, then, you know, just keep taking it. You know, the effect is so profound, and the side effects are, I mean, you can't say zero, but I mean, they're minimal.
Well, back in the day, it was said that glucosamine supplements affected blood sugar levels. And now Diego Paparella, who's watching live, is asking questions about glucosamine increasing cholesterol. Are there any known, let's say, unwanted effects of supplementing with glucosamine?
Fortunately for us, the government did a big study, 3 or 4 years long, because they were looking at the bone and joint effects. So they had side effect data, and the government's not going to say anything is okay. And they said it doesn't do anything. What it does beneficially is it appears to lower your level of inflammation biomarker.
Mm.
So if there's a proposed mechanism, then that would be, you know, that would be it.
Okay, that was another one of my questions. You know, do we have any evidence of a pathway, a potential pathway? And the first thing I was thinking about was metabolic, because everything, when we look at senescent cell accumulation, we look at aging, we look at inflammation, we can always track that back to some sort of metabolic disarray. And but you're saying it definitely has an effect on inflammation.
Yes, and these are prospective studies. Obviously, they're very, you know, small, in, you know, 20 people, 40 people, 80 people. They looked at inflammation biomarkers, and they said, yeah, the results of C-reactive protein or interleukins, you know, were lower. And so it's a possible mechanism. Obviously, like you say, we haven't done the long-term studies, but it's intriguing because we know, because the biggest effect seemed to be on cardiovascular disease. And we know cardiovascular disease is related to long-term inflammation. So the mm-hmm. fact that you're just taking an anti-inflammatory is a tempting hypothesis.
Is there any evidence that taking glucosamine and or chondroitin requires some sort of metabolic pathway to be executed? Maybe the P450 cytochrome cascade, and that taking too much could actually deplete the availability of enzymes that would make this less effective? Any evidence out there of any research that you could take too much?
That is a very good question. These were, again, people that just chose their own dose. They probably were aiming at the recommended dose or somewhat less. We did not study people that, you know, took too much. So I don't know the answer to that question. The only caution is that it's made from
shellfish,
shells and shellfish, and the same stuff that, you know, that makes cartilage and so forth. And so people with that allergy usually should not take it, or they have to take a special formulation.
Right.
But other than that, you know, and you know, I'm a doctor. Don't exceed the recommended dose. But you know, the regular dose, You asked me, am I recommending it to my patients? Well, I don't think we're to the point of recommending it to everyone, because that would be going beyond the data. But if someone is active, physically active, cyclist, runner, et cetera, if they have osteoarthritis, and you say, well, gee, this nourishes your joints, and by the way, it looks like it might make you likely to live longer. Then yes, I would tell people to take it.
Murray Brettworth, Braithwaite, I'm sorry, has a question. I kind of know the answer a little bit, but I want to put it up here. He says, most glucosamine I see is sulfated. I take it as a supplement primarily for the sulfate. Glucosamine is probably getting a lot of credit here, where the sulfate deserves the credit. And I would disagree with that, because I take glucosamine hydrochloride. Do we know what form of glucosamine folks took, or is it just, hey, it's a glucosamine supplement?
We added them all together and put them in the mixer. So the most common one is glucosamine sulfate. You say the sulfate is the one that's getting the credit. No way of knowing that, but that's the most common one, and so that would be the one that's most prevalent in this study, and of course, along with the chondroitin. So the, you know, bone anti-inflammatory effect thing, and that's not a characteristic of sulfate, is the leading hypothesis. So I would tend to lean in that direction.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Let's see, we have one other question from a live listener. She says, I'm wondering if it would have any beneficial effects on people who had an aortic tear. My mother-in-law almost died because of this. Would this increase the strength of those tissue? That's not considered soft tissue, I don't think. That's a
blood, right. That's, you know, specialized. The blood vessels are specialized tissue that's different from connective tissue and the cartilage and joints and so forth. That would be going way beyond what we found. Now, it reduced cardiovascular risk, which was heart attacks and strokes in general. But we did not tease out, of course, the effect on people with an aneurysm or a tear of a blood vessel, because that would be a lower number and somewhat uncommon.
Right. You know, I did a show a few years ago with a scientist who came on. You know, so we're learning that muscle is an endocrine system. It produces hormones. We've learned that fat has endocrine-type characteristics. It produces hormones. And I had a scientist on the show a few years ago who talked about the fascia of muscle, that its contribution to communication throughout the body, like this network, this sheath, that is more than just – we think of it as a sheath that keeps the muscles intact, and it allows you to attach muscles at insertions and originations to bone. But there's a lot more going on. And it makes perfect sense that if you use things that are known to improve soft tissue health, and this is collagen, small doses of vitamin C, not excessive doses of vitamin C, things that mildly and appropriately raise growth hormone as we age, and now this supplement. It makes perfect sense that if soft tissue is healthy, it's just one less thing that can foul up health. What do you think?
Well, that's interesting. And of course, the body is amazing, and the effects of the different tissues are just, you know, astounding. And the more I learn about it, and I'm still learning, and I'm in, you know, 60 plus, so I'm still learning about it, and it's just amazing. The studies like this, the epidemiology is, and seeing, it's like an observation. It's like seeing lightning and saying, gee, I wonder if that's electricity, you know?
Right.
In other words, we're making an observation here in human beings that chose to take this and say, gosh, they lived longer. I mean, what in the world, you know?
Right.
And so all the reasons why, and can we manipulate the dose? Can we take more of it? Can we take it with or without vitamin C? Can we do it in old people or young people? In other words, all those questions are really left to be answered, and exciting ones. We really raise more questions than we answer sometimes.
Which leads me to the next question, which is, if someone came to you with funding, what would you like to do next to try to test this theory?
Well, the tempting thing to do, I'd have to get a young partner, would be to put people on, 1,000 or 1,500 milligrams and, you know, check in on them every year and check in on them 15 years from now.
Right.
Obviously, in the meantime, like you said, we'd love to know more what it does in other tissues. I think we're just scratching the surface on what the inflammation biomarkers, you know, how they respond to it. So we could do all that in the meantime while we were waiting those 15 years for the results, you know.
Anything that affects CRP is really interesting to me, and I'll tell you why. About 5 years ago, I started to look at neuropathies, because we're plagued with neuropathies in this country. Originally, we thought it was diabetic neuropathy, that it was a result of high blood sugar. But now we know people who have no blood sugar management issues that are developing polyneuropathies. And it started to fascinate me. And I keep coming back to coffee, believe it or not, and I'll tell you why. So caffeine raises C-reactive protein. I found a study that showed that B12 did not remedy the problem, even though B12 is supposed to help control C-reactive protein. Coffee has a unique characteristic. Caffeine will raise CRP, but coffee not only raises it because of the caffeine, but there are other things in coffee that causes the liver not to flush the caffeine out as quickly. So you have a double whammy. You're raising caffeine levels in the blood, and you're also lowering the ability to excrete it. And several good studies I looked at show that high levels of C-reactive protein in some individuals who are predisposed, they must have some sensitivity in the peripheral nervous system, will lead to neuropathy. And so I became fascinated with CRP, and I've wondered for a long time, like, what would independently lower CRP? And when I look at your research, I'm like, this has a profound – glucosamine has a profound effect on lowering CRP, and probably why it has cardiovascular protective effects, because we know CRP made its landmark debut as a independent indicator of the probability of heart disease.
Well, yes, it did. And in other research, and we'll obviously have to do another podcast about it, the fiber is dietary fiber has a big effect on lowering it and may be mitigating the effects of things like coffee. So you have coffee, but yeah, you also have some nice whole grain cereal with it. And oh, it's all evens out and you're okay.
Right. So what would you recommend to lay people and clinicians as a result of this research? Do you have any types of advice for them?
Well, I would recommend that they talk to their family doctor and say, hey, what do you think? Would this be for me? Would this be worth a try? And discuss it. I think it would be, you know, I think it'd be reasonable to do so.
Yeah. Very good. I love the study. I like this kind of stuff. And like you said, it creates questions. And yeah. And if we start asking the right questions, we start doing the right research. So I applaud you for publishing this study.
Well, thank you very much.
And thank you for making time to be on the show today.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care. All right, so that's it for today's show. Tomorrow is Tuesday. We have the Blueprint Power Hour. Don't forget, if you would please email me at onair@superhumanradio.net and just simply put your full name and the year you started listening to this show. The 19th of December, we're having our 15th year anniversary. This is the world's longest running health, fitness, and anti-aging podcast. You've been part of this audience for a long time. The anniversary show is going to be all about the audience, because without you, this show, no one's listening. I'm talking to myself. So onair@superhumanradio.net is the place to go, and simply put your full name and the year you started listening to the show, and you will be immortalized in the anniversary show. We'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Please share the show. Thank you.